happy to have you, and we trust and pray that you'll come back at every opportunity that you have. I wanted to mention, too, James asked me, James Luna, to tell about Kristen Townsend. She had surgery. Now, that's the baby's mother, Bethlyn Grace's mother, had surgery, and she is at Women's and Children's Hospital, and she is doing well at this time. Boy, when Don Bates called me, told me about Leola. Don, I loved her like a mother. I tell you, I have enjoyed so much knowing her. And the last few years, of course, she has not been able to function like she usually does. She was an LPN, I believe. Wasn't that right, Don? In her lifetime, she knew a whole lot about medicine. Bless her heart. And one thing I loved about her so very much, she'd always ask about my grandson. Boy, and she wanted to tell me then about her grandchildren. We shall truly miss her, but thank the Lord she lived a good life, and now she's gone on to meet the Lord. And we hope and trust that if you can, to be with us at the graveside service on Tuesday at 2 o'clock at Roselawn. Wilma, we have prayed for you just over and over. Talk to Johnny and well, all the family, I guess, different ones have answered the phone. And she's back with us today, and we're really happy about that. I tell you what, when you get sick and you're out for a while, coming back sure is a good thing, isn't it? And we're so thankful for that. Going to have to start a new series this month. How'd you like the one last month? Well, I enjoyed it. I thought these brethren did some really good preaching myself. And I really enjoyed it. And now this month, we're going to be talking about Bible characters. And mine this morning will be on Gideon, singing tonight. Matt Taylor will be preaching next Sunday morning on Cornelius, and me on Sunday night on Nebuchadnezzar. And I've never done that before. This is a new one for me on that one. And then the Sunday after that, Moses and Aaron will be by Brit on the 17th in the evening. And on February the 24th, I don't know why I put Stuart's name there twice, Stuart will be preaching on Noah, and then a close out by Matt Taylor preaching on the 24th. Lydia, I hope that you'll enjoy these series that the elders have asked us to preach on these various things. Really, really happy to see you today. Now, today when we talk about Gideon, who was Gideon, and anyway, what do we know about? Now, there's one thing I want you to understand. Braden did a great job in the reading of that scripture. Did you find Gideon's name mentioned in that list that were men, that was a man that was faithful to God? Yes, you did. And if I ask everybody now to say the 15 judges, Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, there's his name. And you remember how that before Gideon there was Deborah. And there was a time, about 40 years, that the children of Israel had really been really blessed. They had been blessed, but then something happened to them. And that was they had now turned away from God. And they're now, many of them, serving the devil. And as I tried and searched these three chapters, Judges chapter 6, 7, and 8, which deal with Gideon. I tried to put this in a form that we could understand. Finally, I came to the conclusion, do it like God did. Go by each chapter and notice the different events as best you can. Gideon, the Bible tells us, first of all, God made a choice. God chose Gideon. Secondly, you're going to learn about the battle. One thing I hope and pray that we'll never forget, here is a leader. Here's a man who is a warrior, and he's leading God's people. And guess what? He could tell them, you do as I do. Isn't that great? Boy, we can get a great lesson from that. And then the victory. After Gideon is victorious over the Midianites and Amalekites and the people from the east, guess what? These people now want to make him to be their leader. They want to make him to be kind of a king. And he said, I will not do it. Well, they said, let your son. No. Gideon says, the Lord is the leader. And we'll notice little bit about that. The choice that was made, of course, the father of Gideon was Joash. And he was nicknamed later on Zerubbabel by his own dad. That was really interesting. And there's two things that are mentioned in the Bible about people who had 70 sons. And I thought that was real interesting. When you look at Gideon, the Bible says that he was the man that had 70 sons, plus he had Abimelech by a concubine. And Abimelech later on, as you already, if you studied it, rises up and kills all 70 of Gideon's sons. I mean, you know why? Because he wanted to rule. He wanted the place. And we're going to learn today, there was one other man that I found. Now, you may find another one in the Bible, but the one that I found was Ahab, who had 70 sons, and they all came to a bad end. Now, whenever God calls a person to do something, you would think that the person would say, "Thank you, Lord, I'm glad to do it." Wasn't true with Moses, was it? Well, Moses said, "This is not what I can do. I don't speak well. Send someone else." God wanted Moses, and he told him he had Aaron. And then when you look at Jonah, well, here's a man that God said, "You go down to Nineveh and you cry out against, I don't want to do that. I'm not a passionate person to go down and warn ungodly people." God said after he came back again, "Go," and he finally did. And then there was Jeremiah. Jeremiah could say, "Oh, Lord, I'm just too young to serve in this capacity." No, but Jeremiah, God said, "I'll be with you." And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee." Judges 6. Here's an angel of the Lord. Where is Gideon now? Well, he's threshing out wheat in a wine press, by a wine press. You don't usually thresh out wheat down in a round gully-like or a depth in the earth. You put it in the house. Why is he doing that? I'll tell you why. Because these Midianites and Amalekites and the people from the east, people that come, they bring their camels, we learn. They come whenever Israel had gone out and sown and the crops were now coming up. And they'd bring their camels and let them come down and just go over their fields. And they would take back everything that they could from Israel. And they're in a place where they're making their houses, and they're in dens and caves because they're in a mess. Notice what the Bible says. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him, that is, unto Gideon, and said unto him, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Whoa! Where is this man? Down in the wine press. What's he doing? Threshing wheat. Doesn't sound too brave to me. And Gideon then asked the Lord, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all of this befallen us?" Have you ever felt like that? Why is it I'm doing the very best that I can and I still have so many things to befall me? And then he says, "And where be all his mercies which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." The Midianites sprung from Abraham and Keturah's son named Midian. That's where they came from. The Midianites, therefore, are against God's people. And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites." And the question is, have not I sent thee, chosen you? You're the one I want to go. Go and do it. And now listen to the excuse that many times we put forth when we ought to be doing what God tells us to do. And he said unto him, "Oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Just the kind of man that God wants. Isn't that interesting? Just the individual that God wants. Humble. He's humble. "My family is poor. We're in Manasseh, the tribe of Manasseh. And guess what, Lord? I'm the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Gideon's chosen by God. Let me tell you something, friends. God never makes a mistake. He is so wise, he cannot make and will not make a mistake. He is so good, he'll never do anything that is wrong. Listen to God. The enemies of Israel, who were the Midianites, the Amalekites, the people of the east, they were destroying the crops, as we mentioned before. And here we find that the people of God finally, who had turned away from the Lord serving idols, what did they finally do? They cried unto the Lord for help. Lord, help us. And God heard their cry. And now then, God's made a choice. Gideon, you're the one I want to go. Gideon said, I need to be assured of this, that it really is the Lord. Hold on a minute. Let me make an offering to you. And he went out and got a kid, roasted it. He baked some unleavened bread in a pot of broth. He brought it back. And there's the angel standing. And he asked the angel, or breaks the offering to the angel. And the angel says, pour it out upon the rock. Lay the flesh thereon and the unleavened cakes. And then pour the broth on the rock. Guess what? The angel just took his tip of his staff, touched it, and bingo! Fire came up out of the ground. Or rather, out of the rock. And it consumed it, and the angel disappeared. And Gideon said, oh, I've seen the face of the angel of the Lord. Thought he was going to die. He was assured he would not. And then we're told that Gideon was to go down and to his father's house. And his father must have been somewhat into the idolatry because he had there an altar unto Baal. And God told Gideon to go down. And he did. But he took with him somebody. And they did it at night. To chop down. Remove the Baal's altar. And then to build an altar to God. Next morning. When they got up. They made inquiry as to who's done this. And they come to Joash's house. And they said, we found out it was Gideon. Bring him out. Let us kill him. And you remember, if you studied this, Joash said to him, not so. If Baal is a god, let Baal speak. And of course, Baal was not a god and could not speak. And therefore, Joash would not bring out his son Gideon. And he called him, Zerubbabel, saying, let Baal plead for himself. Now, what do we have? We have being called. He's destroyed his father's altar. He built an altar to the Lord. People want to kill him, but his father will not allow it. Now, Gideon still is not ready to go. You ever heard the story about the fleece? Listen to it. In the sixth chapter of the book of Judges, the Bible tells us that when Gideon speaks to the Lord, he says, let me be assured of your presence. And he said, I'm going to take a piece of fleece. I'll lay it down. And if tomorrow that fleece and the fleece alone is soaked up with water and the whole ground around is dry ground, I'll know that you really are the Lord, and I'll be ready to go. Next morning, Gideon got up. He could take that fleece, and he squished it together, and he got a whole bowl full of water, but everything else was dry. But Gideon said, now, let's do it in reverse. Guess what? He's speaking to the Lord, and the Lord does it for him again. This time, he wants the fleece to be dry and all the earth to be filled of dew and be wet. And it was just exactly as he wanted. We need to make sure that we are right with God. Stand with the evidence that you have. We've got a lesson here. Here's all Gideon was doing. I want to be sure. Here's why I'm asking. God gives it to him because God had said, you're a mighty man of valor, and I've chosen you. We want to make sure that we today are standing on firm ground by looking to God's Word. We want help from God, just like he did. We want to be able to stand with the Lord and do his will. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is depend upon God, just like Gideon is seeking to do. Now the battle. Chapter 7 of the book of Judges, we find him. Here he is going forth to battle, and he sends out a call to all, not all, but to some of the tribes of Israel. He wants these men who will come and help him fight against the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the people of the east that come. Now, the Bible tells us that 32,000 people, men, come to fight. That's pretty good. But you remember, they're going to be fighting against 135,000 people who are their enemies. And so when he got 32,000, y'all, I think he probably thought, well, that's pretty good odds. God's with me. And then God saw the 32,000, and he had something to say to Gideon. He said, that's too many. Tell everybody who don't want to fight, wants to go home, go home. And guess what? 22,000 left and went back home. You know what? When you look at that, maybe Gideon was saying, well, at least I got 10,000 left. But he spoke too quickly because God said, that's still too many. Take the men down to the water. And the men that lap up the water like a dog, put them in one place. And all the others that kneel down to get their drink, put them in another place. 300 lapped up the water like dogs. And God told Gideon, send everybody else home. Keep those 300. With 300, you will conquer 135,000 people. This story just goes on and on. You remember how that he got to go over and hear what somebody had dreamed and given the interpretation of it. We don't have time to go into all detail. And the whole message was that Gideon was going to win. And Gideon goes back and he's happy. He's ready now to go forth. And surely, now he divides up the people. Soldiers now are divided in 100 groups. 100, 200, 300. And they are all scattered around the enemies. They're given a trumpet, a clay pitcher, and a torch. And they are given the information from Judges 7 where Gideon said, now, when I speak, you speak. When I blow the trumpet, you blow the trumpet. When I break the pitcher, you break the pitcher. When I hold up the torch, you hold up the torch. And now look at it. He says, that as I do, so shall you do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Boy, that's interesting. Gideon then, with the 100 that was with him, as they're now about the middle watch of the night, they had but newly set this watch, and they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in right hands to blow withal. And they cried out, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And here's a point, a lesson that all of us need. The Bible says that, and they stood every man in his place round of Mount Vecamp. There's something for us all to do. We need to be standing together, standing in your place. And all the hosts ran and they cried and they fled. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow. And that day there were 120,000 that were destroyed. 15,000 on the way out trying to escape. And as you read more and more about Gideon, you find that they go after those 15,000 and they're able to overcome them. But one of the sad things that I thought, that there was a problem after they won the victory that we found in Judges chapter 8. And that is, the people from Ephraim had not been first called. And when Gideon then calls and tells them to come, they come. And they're able to be victorious. Two kings are killed. But they're really not happy with Gideon. And the Bible tells us in Judges chapter 8 that they come before him and said, "Why did you call us?" And Gideon had such wonderful wisdom. Here these people had gotten two of the kings and gotten their heads. And he used such a very interesting thing, I thought, that he said to them, "Why, what we've done is nothing compared to what you've done. Look what you've done. You've got the kings." And that quieted the disturbance among the people. You're going to have disturbances among people. There's a way to handle it. Make sure that you handle it with wisdom. Surely, when Gideon was trying to, they're tired out, the Bible tells us in Judges 8. He wants bread for his soldiers. Now they're faint. Comes to his own people, the Succoths. But the men of Succoth would not give them bread. And Gideon said, "I'll remember that." He comes over to Penuel. They wouldn't either. He said, "When I get back from finishing this job that I'm on, then they will be punished." And sure enough, as you read the scriptures, that's exactly what happened to them. And you'd think brethren would always be helpful to each other. That's not always the case. There are some brethren that hate each other. God said, "You cannot be my people." Why? You remember Galatians 6 and verse 10. "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith." The great lesson that Gideon surely taught all of us was, when the people now, the victory is won, and the people say now, "Gideon, you and your son rule over us. You be our Lord." Judges 8, 22 and 23 says, "No." Why? "The Lord shall rule over you." Gideon was not a perfect man. The Ishmaelites who had been killed cared and wore golden earrings in their ears. And he asked not to have rule over them, but he asked for the gold earrings. They spread a garment, and the earrings out of those soldiers that had been killed, the Ishmaelites, they brought it, piled it up there for Gideon. But Gideon made an ephod. He used that. The ephod was usually a linen pouch worn by the priest on their chest. In this case, the ephod was evidently highly decorated with gold, probably because of its weight, hung up on the wall. During the life of Gideon, the people were served well, but after he's gone, guess what about that ephod? The people began to worship the ephod. And as a result of such, after all the 40 years that God gives them with the deliverance of the Midianites, the Amalekites, who never came back against them, why, they had been whipped good. But the people then turned back to, and they turned back to serving idolatry. Gideon stood in the gap. We need to have good influence today. Hold your family together. by teaching them the will of the Lord. Joash stood up for his boy. He never regretted that. Hold the congregation together. We're your brothers and your sisters. When you speak about some, you hurt them. If you have something against somebody, go to them personally. Get that thing all cleared up. Because, my friend, I tell you, we are God's people. And we want the generation that follows us to know that we're a people that knew a man who had tremendous faith because he's listed by God. Yes, he's listed by God in Hebrews 11, 32 and 35. Where the Bible gives us a list of people that were faithful to God. And then he adds, I don't have time, the Hebrew writer says, to tell you about Gideon, Barak, and then talks about the others. Yes, Gideon left us. Yes, he left us after having fought a tremendous battle. But God was the one that brought about the victory. Now, I hope this is enough to challenge you to read just three chapters in the Bible. Judges 6, 7, 8. Sixth chapter, the choice of this man. Second chapter, the preparation for the war. Third chapter, the victory of the war. Learn from God's precious truth. Remember in Romans 15, verse 4, whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. That's what we want for you. And surely, if you're in this audience this morning, you're not a Christian. Oh, it's time for you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right before we sing the invitation song, I promised somebody last week that I would lead God is so good. And before we have the invitation song, please remain seated. Would you sing with me as we celebrate the wonderful life of Gideon, faithful to God to do the will of the Lord. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. Jesus is real. He's so real to me. What did he do? He saved my soul. He saved my soul. He saved my soul. And he made me whole. I praise his name. I praise his name. I praise his name. He's so good to me. He really is good. God is so good. If you're in this assembly this morning, you're not a Christian. Won't you obey the gospel by believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, confessing the name of Jesus, and being baptized for the remission of your sins? Here is water. What does hinder you from being baptized? And if you're here this morning, you're not living right. Start living right by asking God to forgive you. Won't you be restored to the Lord? Won't you ask us to help you, pray with you, encourage you in any way we possibly can? Being restored to the Lord means then you're back and you're able to serve the Lord faithfully. If you're subject to His invitation, it's Jesus Christ that we offer you. Won't you obey Him? Well, together we stand and while we sing to encourage you.